I'm not mic'd. I'm just killing time. The boys are having a powwow back there. Come on, get your in here. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hi. Wow. Gotta borrow that.
Are we ready? What's up, Mom? All right, so how's it going? You guys good? You sure? You sure? You sure? Huh? You sure? You sure? Bro, you wait. I'm gonna tell the supervisor. If you ever want to listen to a great CD. Yeah, you won't understand it, but if you want to get like into Hawaiian pigeon English pop culture, there was a CD that was done back in the 80s called Poi Dog with Crabs. And it's freaking awesome. And you can get it on iTunes and you can listen to it. It's hilarious. Okay. You have no idea what I was just talking about, but that's okay. Yeah, our kids got it memorized. That's how they learn pigeon. It's like, you want to know where your dad grew up? Here, listen to this CD. All right, so you guys ready? Okay, cool. Are you guys ready for tonight? How are you guys feeling? You guys doing okay? Oh, did you do your homework? Thanks, babe. Remind me some other stuff. Did you do your homework? She did her homework. She almost like. Was it okay to do the homework?
They did the homework, but they weren't supposed to have sex.
Yeah, I know. You just had. Did you learn anything from the homework? What's up, bro? Flirting and teething? Oh, I thought you said teething. Like teething. I don't know anything about that. She told me about it. It wasn't that fun from what I recall, but I was like, don't worry, baby. I won't do that to you ever. Oh, boy. I've never done that to you, have I? Okay, teething or teasing? I'm kidding. Flirting and teasing? I don't know, same thing, I guess. I don't know. All right, so I think you guys are awesome. No, you're awesome. No, for reals. For reals. This, being at something like this is not an easy thing to do. And you guys that are in here are 10 times the man that I was. I'm telling you. Because my experiences with this kind of stuff were always just terrible. Freaking terrible. I am not kidding. No joke, man. I was like, man. So I think you guys are amazing. You're awesome. I know, you know, some of you might be like, this is hard, you know, whatever, but it's like gonna get better. Yes. You know, you have to have that faith. You have to know, you have to trust, you know, that it's gonna get better and it will. And it's worth it. Yes. The fight yes. is worth it. Yes. I promise you yes. it's worth it, yes. right? And death hurts. It sucks. But life, the life that comes out of that death is amazing. It's amazing. It's priceless. The freedom, right? And the kingdom that can be experienced. Just think about how whatever we can conceive and think it is, it's so much more than that. You know, so just ask yourself right now, whether it's good or not good right now, whatever it is you want it to be is just barely the edge of what it can be. So good job. So, all right, so I'm going to bring up, so tonight, I just want you guys to have fun, okay? So part of this experience is, and this is another reason why I'm really just proud of you guys, is because you've put yourself in an environment that may not be comfortable, may not be just telling you everything you think you already know or want to hear or already believe to be true or whatever, that you have the strength of knowing who you are to be able to sit in a place where maybe not everything is exactly what you think it should be, right? And that's when we know that we're growing. When I can have a conversation with somebody that has maybe completely different belief systems than I do, or different convictions, or even a different interpretation or a different thinking or whatever, and I can honor that person, right? Like, I don't have to try to argue with them and prove to them that my way's right, which means they're wrong. But I can actually just conversate and hear and ask them for their point of view, their perspective, their life experiences, right? And I don't have to feel threatened by that. I don't have to feel that that's a challenge or a threat to me, because I know that I can step away from that and I go, okay, Father, what's right for me and you, right? So I think that's freaking awesome that you guys are here, because we're definitely throwing some stuff out that, you know, might be challenging. And tonight may do that for some of you guys, but the idea is that it's going to bless you. And you know, again, to just allow ourselves to be in that space where we just say, okay, Father, what do you have for me? What do you want from me? When I first actually heard about Natan, it was my wife, I think she was either calling me or texting me from Israel, and she was telling me about this rabbi who she was asking these sex questions to. And my first response was like, what the fuck, you know? You're talking to some guy about, you know, what do you want, you know? And it really challenged me, like, big time, you know? I was like, wait, that's not right, you know? And then I had to, like, say, okay, well, why am I feeling this way? What's up? What's the heart behind this, you know? And it was really awesome because I felt what I felt, and then later getting to meet the good rabbi, and just some conversation and that sort of thing. And then even sitting down and understanding her like heart behind it. But what I felt from him was honor, you know? And it was kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool that there can be a place, that there is a culture that's out there where it's okay to ask these kind of questions. It's kind of cool, you know? Because in our world, it's just kind of like so taboo to talk about certain things. And so I love it really kind of challenged my thinking, challenged some of my, you know, judgments. And to see somebody who had the biblical background, right? The actual original language that the scriptures were written in. Okay, then the cultural history and background, okay, and then the person that he is, you know? And I was like, okay, this guy's cool. And to see his heart and his passion. And so I'm excited. When we did this event last year, it was like, oh, dude, this is awesome. This way this rolled out was just so cool. It's like, where else could you go to an event like this and get like really stretched, right? Because if you're sitting on one side, you say, well, no, this is my doctrine. This is my belief. This is my right and wrong and all this sort of thing. And then you find out, whoa, okay. You know, so it challenges us. But the idea is not to say we're right and you're wrong, or I'm right and, you know, the rabbi's wrong or vice versa, but it's, again, all about you, you know? And it's about your growth and again, living that hot marriage life, right? So I love this guy. Every time I get a chance to kind of connect with him, which isn't very regularly, I just, you know, we had an amazing connection last year. I just feel like he's a brother. And you know, this guy is a lion. He's a freaking lion, man. You look at him, you think, but he's a freaking lion. Watch out, you know. So I'm stoked that he's back this year and that he's sharing from his heart, which is very much like ours, and operating from a place of love. And I would just, again, encourage you tonight to just kind of let it go, you know. Just have fun, right? And this is his profession. This is like what he specializes in. You saw that last night, some of the things he was able to talk about. And so you don't have to agree with 100%, you know. It's okay. But let's just please bless him because this man is awesome. He has a heart for the living God, and he has a heart for all of us. So please help me bring up Rabbi Natan.
Troubled mind. I returned it up. I lay lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watch the world float to the dark side of the moon. But I feel there's nothing I can do. Yeah. I watch the world float to the dark side of the moon. After all I knew it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then. As long as you'll be my friend at the end. If I go crazy then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman.
It was between that and Eminem. You laugh. There's holiness in everything in the world.
Come on.
Even Eminem. There's holiness in everything in this world. It's about what we do with it. It's about how we choose to embrace it, to fight it, to push it down, or to take its energy and use it for God, to use it for good, to use it for holiness. If you want to be a Superman or a Superwoman, you need to know what your kryptonite is. You need to know what powers you, and you need to know very clearly what takes power away from you. But if you, as we've heard through the weekend, if you work from a place of fear of that thing that weakens you, then it will weaken you. But if you work from a place of belief, faith, not just in our God, but in yourself and God's faith in you, then that thing that you believe weakens you is actually sent to you in order to use to bring light to this world, to bring light to your life. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in our lives. If we were not meant to be here, don't even think for a second that if God didn't want us here, we wouldn't be here. We would cease to exist. Every single thing in this world can be used for good or bad.
That's right.
Mona knows. I've spoken to her about Krav Maga. Krav Maga is the Israeli self-defense, right? The funny thing is, when you go to a gym to work out, and there's these huge dudes, okay? And as you know, us Jews are slightly smaller than other nations. And you tell them that you train in Krav Maga, they'll bow out. Doesn't matter how small you are, because Krav Maga is about taking anything there is to defend yourself. It's about using anything in this world to get to the purpose. In fact, Krav Maga was created so the 70, 80-year-old woman in the middle of Jerusalem could defend herself with a broomstick against the Jordanian legions. Okay, that's one of the reasons why when terrorist attacks happen in Israel, within 3 to 5 seconds, it's over. There's no chasing the guy around London for 15 minutes. Slight detour. But everything in this world can be used for good and bad. Okay? Including sex. So why are we so scared of sex? Anyone? Because it's powerful. Why else? Sorry?
Vulnerability.
I love the Aussie accent. Say it again.
Yes.
We've been taught that way.
Yeah. He's an Aussie, mate. We've been taught that way to be scared of sex. By who?
Parents,
teachers, church. I remember when, sorry?
Friends.
Your friends know how to freak you out. I was in grade 6, 12 years old. Boys are standing around in a circle like men do. Sharing the deep secrets of the world we knew at 12 years old. And my friend Itai Leffler says, "You know what my big brother told me? Women have a penis." What? But my mum said that's the only difference between us. Run home. Very open and honest family. My mother, my sister, and I. Mum, do girls really have a penis? Yeah, so our mates can really freak us out. One of the reasons that I believe we are so scared of sex in the religious world is because what Western society have done with it, how they have portrayed sex to the rest of the world. Like Danny said, not that pornography equals sex, sex equals pornography, God forbid. But it's been around forever. It's been around forever, and it had to be around forever, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Logical, right? Do I need to draw the diagram? It is a God-given gift into this world. Now, what Western society did,
it monetized it.
I was speaking, I think it was to Danny about this. Anyone who understands anything about the internet, social media, right? If you've looked on a dating site, the internet thinks that you're also interested in pornography. And the internet then also thinks that you're interested in sex toys. And the proof is, I'm not telling you to try it. Okay? But every single one of us have different adverts popping up on Facebook, on YouTube, on Google. It's because they know more about us than we know about us. They have your exact profile of what they think you are. So Western society has associated sex with pornography, sex with prostitution, sex with bestiality, sex with all of these disgusting things. So we, instead of saying, hold on a second, let me shed some light on that, we went and hid. We went and got insular. Now let me prove it to you again. In the Talmud, which is a commentator's, over 2,000 years ago, the story goes like this. There was once a young student of a rabbi who had followed his rabbi around to find out every way to live a holy life. How the rabbi ate, how the rabbi prayed, how the rabbi woke up. He decided to find out how he should have sex. And he hid under his rabbi's bed. True story. And his report in the Talmud is that he heard his rabbi, this holy man, giggling, whispering things in his wife's ear. Foreplay. Obviously, he couldn't keep his mouth quiet. And the rabbi heard him under the bed. He pulled him out and chucked him out. So we don't know how the rabbi did everything else. But 2,000 years ago, it wasn't dirty. At least in the Jewish culture. So let me ask you a question. Are you wanting to be fearful, thinking that Western culture is stronger than God? Are you willing to let that win and you not shed the light, but go into a ghetto of darkness so that you also parallel certain positions with your husband and wife as prostitution, because that's the way that you someone may see it on pornography? Are you willing to bring that into your life? Because if you are, you're bringing the darkness into your bedroom, into your life, into the opportunity that God has given you and your spouse to create holy light together. You are bringing in the darkness of Western society and letting them win. So I'm going to be really honest tonight. And the reason that I believe I should be honest is because I actually think all religious leaders should be the ones talking about sex. Why? Because if the religious leaders can do it, then everyone can do it. There's a Jewish law, as you know, with the Emerald people. There's a Jewish law, many of them, about saving a life. And it's very obvious to everybody, somebody's dying, well, you save their life. You do everything that you can do to save their life. But what happens if it's, this is really weird for you guys, what happens if it's Shabbat? Can I drive my car, which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbat, because of the spark it creates when I turn on the engine? Do not have a fire in your midst. Am I allowed to do that to save someone's life?
Yes.
Of course I am. What happens if I'm not sure if it will save their life? What happens if I'm not even sure if their life is in danger? They're such simple things to the rest of the world. But the Jews are so worried about pleasing God that I need to at least ask the question. So you know what the answer is? The answer is not only should you break Shabbat, if there's even a question of his life, but who is it that should break Shabbat? The religious leaders. It should be the rabbi who gets into that car and drives them to hospital. Why? Because we understand that the world has leaders and followers, whether we like it or not. And if the leaders are not willing to break Shabbat, how can you expect anyone else to? So if the leaders aren't willing to talk about sex, how are we meant to expect anyone else to? So whatever embarrassment it might cause me, or even more so my wife, we're willing for that to happen in order to break down those barriers, not so that you can do what I say. I'm not here to preach. I am not here to preach. And if you thought that, I apologize. I'm here to be right, and I'm here to be wrong. And whatever you take from it, the same as whatever you take from Danny and Hans, you're going to have to be willing to be right and willing to be wrong. So men, tomorrow, when we talk about where a woman's clitoris is, and you get it wrong, you're going to get it wrong, because I don't. Start taking responsibility. Where's Diane? She would have loved that. So, if religious leaders are the ones that should be speaking about sex, I strongly urge you to speak about sex not only with your spouse, but with your children. Because if they don't see you being comfortable or even uncomfortable around it, but still talking about it, then they will grow up also thinking it's dirty, also not willing to ask questions. And there are many of us who went through pain because our parents didn't speak about sex. And maybe it's okay if we go through pain, but it's not okay for our spouse to go through pain. So let's humble ourselves and learn. Humble ourselves and ask. The person you can most learn about sex from is your spouse.
So good. There you go.
That's awesome.
Do you know how many people have told me that the beginning of their addiction to pornography, and I truly believe this, was very righteous. They were researching. They wanted to know what would please their spouse. Why did they have to go to pornography? Because they couldn't ask their spouse. It says very clearly in the Torah, Lo tov hayat adam levado. It is not good for man to be alone. So if man is alone and not being brought in by his wife to tell him how to please her, what do you think he's going to do? He has a yearning not to be alone. He has a yearning to have a connection. And if you ladies are not helping him connect because of your inhibitions, he will search not to be alone. Either with something that is inanimate or with something he can touch and hold. Now, scare tactics, I don't believe in them. Because once I believe I'm not fearful of that, it doesn't work on me anymore. But remember how much of a role we play in our aloneness of our spouse, especially when it comes to sexuality. Now, sex, as Hans said, is not the be-all and end-all of marriage. But I do believe that it's the litmus test to a good marriage. What do I mean by that? If you have a great marriage and your sex life sucks, if your intimacy is really at the level that you believe it is, that it is so great, that you can tell each other everything, that you can guide each other on everything in the world, you can spill your beans to each other, well then, you can tell your spouse everything to improve your sex life. But if you have a really crappy marriage, if you have a really bad marriage and no communication around anything, your sex life ain't going to be good. And if you think it is, excuse me saying so, if you think having an orgasm is a sex life, then you've bought into pornography. If you think sex is all about that end result, that final release, then you have bought into that Western mindset that it's got nothing to do with our connection. It's got nothing to do with our soul. It's all about the finish. If you open the Bible, no interpretations needed. Chapter 4, verse 1. V'ha'adam yada et chava ishto. And Adam knew his wife, or knew Eve, his wife. I want to translate exactly for you. V'tahar v'teled et Cain. And she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Vatomer, and she said, Kaniti ish et Adonai. I have acquired a man with God. The first threesome ever reported. Took a while. Yada, Yada. Yodea means to know. Has anyone got any other interpretation, any other translation of an Adam somethinged his wife? Anyone else? Anyone else's Bible? Why doesn't it say lay with? Why doesn't it say had sex with? Why? Because it's all about intimacy. Wow. It's not about this goes there and it feels good. Sex is the product of knowing. Sex is the product of intimacy. Sex is the product of a healthy relationship between husband and wife. So we get all excited here this weekend. It's a lot of laughs and it's a great time and it's got to be that. But at the same time, understand that real sex, real orgasm is not only physicality. Remember we learned last night, Adam was made from the dust of the earth and then breathed into him life, physical, spiritual. We are not just physical beings. We are not just spiritual beings. So sex is the greatest mix of physical and spiritual together. Do you hear me? It's the greatest mix of physical and spiritual together. It is the greatest mix of the way that man was created. Therefore, we cannot deny the way man wants sex. When I say man, I mean man and woman. We cannot deny the physical urge of sex, and we should not deny the physical urges of how to have sex. If we do, then we are knowing better than God. And we're saying, you know what, God? You should have just made me a spirit being. You shouldn't have included the physical side here. I know better than you. A few of us thought that this weekend, right? We know better than God. But God created us physical and spiritual. So let's talk about that a little bit. What's the most taboo part of sex for you guys? Shout it out. What's the thing you just don't want to discuss? Don't want to talk about? Sorry? Oral sex. Was that the lady that's chucked out of churches? No? Of course, you can come to my synagogue anytime. Yeah. We ask questions. Yep. We challenge.
Yep.
Good. Anal sex. Yeah. Men, don't be afraid that your ladies are the only ones saying anything. Let loose. It's okay. Because I will take you through the Bible, A to Z. And I don't profess to know the New Testament, the
Second Testament.
But I know that what is not allowed is bestiality. Having sex with animals. I'm sorry to pervert your mind. I know that what is not allowed is to uncover the nakedness of my mother. I know that what is not allowed is to marry my father's wife. I know that what is not allowed is anal sex between two men. And a few other things. But nowhere in my Torah does it say that I cannot explore with my wife through commitment and love and care and intimacy what we want to explore. Nowhere does it say do not have oral sex. Nowhere does it say that with consent between husband and wife, one cannot have anal sex. Nowhere. But you're not allowed to spill your seed, Rabbi. You're not allowed to spill your seed. So define spilling your seed. Does that mean that when my wife is pregnant, we can't have sex?
Oh, come on.
Because as far as I understand, once she's pregnant, I can't make her pregnant again at the same time. Once my wife has gone through menopause, am I not allowed to have sex with her? Because Rabbi, sex is about having children. That's why God gave us sex. To have children. Sorry? I'll speak Australian, not American. No, Meg feels that I'm making fun of you and that you might be offended. Please don't be offended. I'm talking about anal sex. They're not offended. It's okay. Thank you for protecting me. The definition, and this is only an interpretation of the rabbis. It is only an interpretation of the rabbis.
Like for thousands of years.
For thousands of years.
Yep.
Is that the spilling of your seed is defined as the act that a man named Onan did.
That's right.
Onan had to marry his brother's wife because his brother died. And so in tribal living, we look after our family and we bring her under my protection. It is my responsibility to look after my brother's wife if, God forbid, he passes away. Which, by the way, pretty much happened. My grandmother, my Nana, her husband died and his best friend married her. To take care of her. And he became my grandfather. So what happened with Onan? He did not want to continue the seed of his brother. So he slept with his wife, but spilt his seed. For those who don't understand, he came out before he finished. That is the interpretation of the rabbis, of what spilling your seed is, i.e., unless you are spilling your seed and making sure not to finish inside your wife so that you do not have children, that is not allowed. But if sex gets so passionate that during oral sex you finish outside, if sex gets so passionate that you finish before you get inside, you know what? You even make the decision. Sweetie, would it be okay? It'd really please me if you did this for me. You're distracting me. according to the Torah, according to the Bible, is there anything wrong with pleasing your husband? Well, you guys have to go through a whole nother weekend. According to the Bible, and don't do Natan said, go look at it yourself.
Amen.
If you find something, I'm happy for you to come and tell me. I'm open to changing my opinion. I'm teachable. According to my understanding of the Torah, of the Bible, there is nothing wrong with pleasing your husband. And there is nothing wrong with pleasing your wife. In fact, like I said yesterday, it is your responsibility to sexually please your wife. Where do we learn this? The Torah tells us, if a man has one wife and he then marries another wife, he may not diminish the sexual pleasure he gives to the first wife, which means it is his responsibility to give sexual pleasure to both of his wives on equal par. So everyone's like, hey, Jacob, like, Yaakov, what a dude, four wives, like, pleased every night. He had to please all four of them. It was up to him to please them. So now let's change our perception of sexuality that was created by Western society. Number one, it is not dirty. Number two, it is a tool that God gave us as part of our physical and spiritual beings. And number three, sex is not about pleasing the man. That is not God's ultimate goal. In fact, the Mishnah teaches us, Jewish teaching, if you want to take this one, you can. If you don't, you don't have to, but I think you're going to want to, ladies. What is the reward for a man who makes his wife orgasm before him? A son. Wow. The continuation of his tribe, which is the most important thing to a man. Let me say that again because I'm seeing some smiles on women's faces over here. The reward to a man who helps his wife orgasm before him is a son, the most ultimate reward for a man who has to continue his family name and his tribe. Yes, Danny?
I didn't
say that.
Now, please don't, you know, as Danny and Hans say, you can take things however you want and put them all over the internet and, you know, real wild things like that. So, you know, Danny, what do I do? Just calm down. It's okay. You can do whatever you want with it. Are you ready for a bit of interaction with your spouse?
Yes.
I know you are. Yeah, let's make it fun. Okay. I want you to draw a diagram. Draw a picture of the way you would most be pleased by your spouse. Do not draw a picture of him taking the garbage out. only draw stick figures. I want all the worried faces in the room to understand that this is a very, very serious subject. But we got to lighten it up a little bit. Because the seriousness around it is birthed out of fear. The fear that Western society has placed on our hearts of what sex is all about. And so we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves. We've got to be able to lighten up around this. Because many clients who I help are just taking life too seriously. Premature ejaculation, most of it is up here. The tension that is created around. There are people who are struggling to have children. The tension around that can close a womb up. So we've got to be able to open up about it a little bit. So I'm going to give you guys 3 minutes. Danny's like, up and down. And up. I need 10 minutes. Bring your iPad. Draw a diagram. Laugh about it to yourself because you're not going to show your partner yet. And those of you that are not married yet, I'm sorry about the cold showers, but... And do not present this to him or her on the first date. But I suggest that you keep it for yourself and use it later on in life. Be interesting to see how it changes once you meet him or her. All right, a diagram of the way you could most be sexually pleased by your spouse. Go. Chad, I want to hear the music. I don't know what you're going to choose. Don't shoot your spouse yet. Trying to decide which one. Thank you. how much love. Do not give it to your spouse. It shall be presented to them later tonight. The Song of Songs, which is Shlomo's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Dirty old man. There's an individual relationship that God has with every single one of us. Father and son, father and daughter. But there's also a communal relationship that he has with us. King and servants. Groom and bride. Now I understand and I know that some people's interpretations here differ to mine and mine to theirs. And I'm totally okay with that, so I hope you are as well. But either way, there's a love story between us and God. And it's a passionate
yes.
love story. Yep. It's a love story that is never ending. Yep. And that is steeped in commitment to each other. Not only is it steeped in commitment to each other, it is bound up by constant communication between us and him. He is always talking to us. He is always expressing himself to us. He is our groom. But as his bride, are we responding to his call? Are we communicating back to him? Are we willing to speak as honestly to him as he does to us? Or are we going to just let him tell us the honest truth? And we continue to stay guarded and protected because of a lack of humility. True relationships that last thousands of years through everything are based on communication. Because if I know what you're thinking, I know how to relate to you. If I don't know what you're thinking, if I don't know what you're feeling, then I am abandoned by you. Yes. if we do not communicate our needs to our spouse, our feelings to our spouse, we are abandoning them. They are left alone. And man is not meant to be alone. So I want you to ask yourself, what is it that is stopping you from communicating with your spouse? What is it that is building a wall between you and your spouse in general, but tonight even more so around sex? Why is it that you're willing to tell them that they didn't take out the trash? Why is it that you're willing to tell them that the dinner they made was really nice and tasted good? But we're not willing to tell our spouse that the way you made love to me was displeasing, or the way that you gave me oral sex was amazing. Why do we keep it to ourselves? Why are we willing to express all of those logistical things?
Wow.
You're never going to forget to tell your husband and wife what time to pick the kids up from school.
Wow.
But we're going to lie in bed going, I wish I could tell them that I've always wanted X. Lack of humility. Lack of humility. Because your perception of me is more important to me than our relationship, than our happiness, than our oneness. Because what is sex? It is the complete, when done properly with the right person at the right time, it is the complete purpose of the creation of man and woman to become one. So what? Your arrogance is more important than God's plan for you and your spouse? Your arrogance around saying, sweetheart, I would love you to have anal sex with me, is more important, that embarrassment is more important to you than fulfilling God's great plan? Let's humble up, people. What's the worst thing that can happen? He or she will say, no. The best thing that could happen is that he or she could say, tell me more about that. That doesn't mean they're going to do it.
That's right.
Remember what happened? Hans and Danny said, when Hans told Danny his deepest fantasy, whether they did it or not is not important. It's that sharing. It's that breaking down of boundaries, of saying, my arrogance, the way that I want you to view me, is not as important as my honesty to you, our relationship, our realness, our truth, our emet, truth. We'll do truth. This is how you write falsehood or a lie. You say it sheker. 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 What do you notice about all three letters? There's a common denominator. Sorry? Single points. Where? Uh-huh. Shin is not stable. Kuf is not stable. And Resh is not stable. If you think that you can uphold your lie, your falsehood around sexuality forever, it will fall. It will fall. How it will fall? Who knows? But it will fall. Because no falsehood stands forever. Whereas, truth, no matter how difficult it is to share, stands strong. Aleph, 2 feet. Mem, strong base. Tough, 2 feet. Truth stands forever. Truth stands forever. That is why the Torah, the Bible, through everything has stood. Because it is God's truth. So your truth, no matter how difficult it is for you to own, will stand forever. And so if your truth is that you truly would be attracted to your spouse in a certain way, that's there to stay if it's your truth. But if you're going to lie about it, if you're going to choose sheker, falsehood, over emet, over truth, it will not stand. People are, I want to say blown away, but I don't want to say that. People are shocked. People are shocked by the fact that they find out that their spouse looked at something or did something. You wouldn't be shocked if you were truthful with each other. If you knew whether you were happy to do it or not do it, if you knew that that was part of their truth, you wouldn't be shocked. You would discuss how to help provide or to help them through that truth rather than make them feel alone, abandoned. Because if it's their truth, they will chase it. And so, even before we look at our spouse on that, let's look at ourselves. What truths are we holding sexually in ourselves? What truths are we withholding from our Father? What truths are we thinking he doesn't know about us? Because I can tell you this, the moment you spill those beans to your God will be the most empowering time in your life. And if you are able to share that with your spouse, and I'm going to help you do that in a second. If you're able to share that with your spouse, it will be the most freeing thing you've done in your entire relationship. But it doesn't stop there. Because we have to ask, what environment, what Garden of Eden we are providing for our spouse to feel safe to do that. What environment is our spouse expecting that has stopped him or her from expressing that to us? And how are we going to change that? A man liking something to do with his own anal pleasure does not mean he's gay. I can give you studies on it, but it's FOS. So, ladies, I want you to just go through your head for a second. The most embarrassing thing or shameful thing that you think is shameful, your husband may share with you. I want you to stop for a second, Meg included, and go through your head. What is your initial reaction when your husband tells you a fantasy, the most crazy fantasy you could think of, he could think of, including something that Western society has told us means that he's sick, he's perverted, he's sinful? Go through it for a second. What's your initial reaction? Is it to cast shame? Is it to show shock? Is it to give a judging look? Or is it to receive what he said? Is it the ability to help him not feel alone? Because both male and female have sex drive. It's meant to be. But ladies, your man's sex drive usually lasts longer than yours. You need to be open to his fantasies, just to hear them to begin with. Because one other thing God doesn't want is anything to happen between husband and wife without consent. According to our law, that is room for divorce. Without consent, she can go straight to the high court and ask for a divorce. At the same time, if he doesn't provide sexual pleasure for her, she can go to the high court and ask for a divorce. Now, I'm not talking about every time. Okay? Let's be real here. I saved you there, right? But it's the truth. God expects it from us. When we sign a marriage document, a ketubah, which Hans has done as well, we commit to providing sexual pleasure for our wife.
It sure is.
Now, don't forget, sex is the product of intimacy. So men, don't think that your responsibility to provide sexual pleasure starts and ends with that act.
Yes, yes.
It also starts and ends with an environment that you create,
yep,
that is intimate.
Yes.
That allows your wife to share.
Yes.
That allows your wife to share. And this little voice in my head has been saying, almost every time Danny has said intimacy is, you know, will get you to sex, is the sly guy going, so all I have to do is listen to her. No, dudes. You got to feel what she's saying. We're not some dudes at a bar picking up a chick. We're husbands,
yes,
who take responsibility, yes, for that intimacy being created.
Wow.
And let me give you a tip. It's actually quite good. When you allow yourself to hear what your wife has to say, when you allow your wife to be vulnerable, because then what happens? You're allowed to be her protector. But if you don't allow her the space to be vulnerable, you have no space to be her protector. So if you don't provide that safe space for her to cry to you, for her to talk to you about things that to you may not be so important, you are denying yourself the role that God has given you to be her protector. Anyone here want to deny half the role God gave them? When I get up to my Creator, I want to be able to answer Him that I did everything in this world in my power to live up to His expectations. So it's not about Meg wants me to listen to her. God wants me to listen to her. Because when my father tells me to do something, I got to do it. If it's reliant on Meg or my children, today I want to, tomorrow I won't. So that intimacy, that environment that we create, that safe environment that we create is not just a physical environment of, don't worry, sweetie, I know how to protect you physically. But sweetie, with me, every one of your words and feelings are safe. I've been in, unfortunately, quite a few situations of life and death. And the truth that I can tell you is that if your truth is not a truth, it falls. If your connection with your wife or children or friends, whatever it is based on external stuff, you will not be the protector you need to be when you need to be it. There's a famous story of the Second Lebanon War. It's just over 10 years ago. The Israelis got quite far into Lebanon because Hezbollah had taken over a lot of the south of Lebanon. And they were shooting rockets that are stronger than the rockets coming from Gaza into Israel. And there was a platoon that took a house in one of the Lebanese villages. And the whole team of men, about 15 men, were inside this one house after a long battle of taking the house. All of a sudden, a Hezbollah fighter popped up out of nowhere and shot a grenade into the house. Grenades are not only, as you see on the movies, you know. There's a gun called a matol that shoots them as well, further distance. The grenade lands in the house. And Roy Klein, a commander, the commander, also a husband, also a father, realized that there was not enough time to get the men out. He jumped on the grenade. He said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he died. By the way, after the grenade exploded in his stomach, he had the clear mind to take all of the codes out of his jacket and give it to the second in command. That's emet.
Yes.
That's truth. If your relationship with your wife is not true, you will not protect her when it becomes reality. You will not jump on that grenade. And every one of us macho men believe that we'll do it. I watched on the news what happened with that sniper fire at that concert. Mayhem. Panic. Yep. The most macho men ran for their lives and left their loved ones behind. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking truth here. We can all be macho, we can all be supermen, but if we don't have intimacy, we will not fulfill that truth when it really matters. So if you believe you're a man who's going to jump on a grenade for his wife, I'm sure you'll have the balls to tell her your sexual desires. If you think you're a man enough to die for your family, tell her you like her playing with whatever you like her playing with. I'm being serious, people. We live in a society that makes us think that Hollywood characters are so real and so true that we can be them as well. And the same thing for women. If you're not willing to live your truth with your man, then when the you-know-what really hits the fan, do you really think you're going to be by his side? Oh, yes, through death do us part. But the bank account is empty, so I'm out of here. Or he didn't take out the trash. By the way, that's something that's on my mind for a reason. It's a promise I made to Meg that I don't always keep up to. That's part of my truth. So let's start being real, people. Let's start getting with our emet, our truth. Stop fluffing around life. Be real. Create an environment for each other that allows us to be real. Create an environment for the other that they feel safe in being real. Because if our spouse goes anywhere else for anything else, it's our fault. We haven't created the environment for them to be truthful with us. We're not man enough. We're not woman enough to do it. Because the way you perceive me is more important. So I want you to turn to your spouse. Men lead the way. And I want you not to confess, because that's got all different things connected to it, but speak truth to your spouse about one thing sexually. And neighbors, like, don't listen in on each other. And turn my mic off. One thing sexually that you have not either been honest about or you haven't shared with your spouse. We want this weekend to go a step far beyond your norms. So that when you go home, you'll at least be here. But if we don't push those big buttons now, no one's going nowhere. Okay? So this is a safe environment, I hope by now. And if not, I respect that. And I don't want anyone to be hurt. So if your truth is, sweetie, my truth is that I still don't feel I can be honest with you, then that's your truth. And allow your spouse to have that truth. Okay? 2 minutes. Shouldn't take any longer than that. One thing that you either have not been honest about or that you have not yet shared with your spouse. I believe in you. You can do this. Okay? Go for it. L'chaim. How did it feel? Great. How did it feel, people? Shitty. Amazing. Well done.
We did it, but it felt horrible.
I'm so proud of you. I am so, and it's not for you to worry about what I think, but I am so proud of you, and I'm so proud of anyone here who is able to do that. That takes a yearning for emet, for truth. That takes a commitment to real intimacy. God's honest with us all the time. Our groom is honest with us all the time. As his bride, are we going to do the same? I want everyone to make sure that you are a safe place. Because the fact that it was shitty, excuse me saying that, but yet you still did it, meant that you're a safe place for each other. But you just did it.
We've been bashing each other the whole weekend and every exercise.
And now? So now is the time to change. That's why you're sitting right here. Now's the time to be that safe place for each other. Because you know why people bash each other? Because they're so scared of themselves. Ask any martial artist. The way that we stop from being hurt is to hurt. The best way to defend ourselves is to keep the other person busy with being hurt. Right? So let's humble up, which you've already done, whether you realize it or not, because you could have sat there quiet. Humble up. Ask your Father. Ask your Father to soften your hearts and allow Him to speak to you and through you to each other. Free yourself of anger, of pain, of being fearful of the other. That's what Adam and Eve did. Her fault. Your fault. They were banished. Take ownership. Take ownership. My good friend Linda says, when I realized that it's not 50% him and 50% me, but it's 100% me, and now I'm adding, and it's up to him to realize it's 100% him. That's where the healing starts. When we take full responsibility for our stuff, that's where the healing starts. But if we're going to keep the other one busy all the time, instead of saying, this is me, naked truth.
Yes.
If you can do this, you'll heal yourself.
Yes.
And then, miraculously, after being an unsafe place for each other, will help heal each other.
Yes. Yep.
I want you guys to commit to that. Deal with your own stuff now so that he can bring down your guard. Because if you're full of poison, you will inject him or her with poison.
Yeah.
We are one.
Yeah.
Poison is injected in my right arm. It's going to come to my left.
Absolutely.
So it's just circulating around your body, which is your marriage. So get the poison out of yourself. Get it out of yourself. And then you'll be able to even heal each other. Yeah? Wow. The honesty of people humbles me.
Yes.
Humbles me. I was able to tell Meg something now because of your honesty. You know, you guys think we over here grow you. We know it all, so we give it to you. We go through our own process. Rabbi Aryeh Levine lived in the old city of Jerusalem. And one day, his wife hurt her leg. After trying to care for her, he saw that he could do nothing about it. So they went to the doctor. And as they entered the doctor's surgery, the doctor invited them to sit down. Rabbi, ma'am, what can I do for you? And Reb Aryeh said, Doctor, our leg is hurting us. Our leg is hurting us. When we commit to being one, our everything is our success and our failure.
Yes.
Our everything is our pain,
yes,
or our orgasm. I would love a show of hands, but I'm not sure if we're willing to do it. But I want to be able to do a question that's not FOS. Let's try it. Let's see how honest people are. Gentlemen. Sorry, guys. I'm a man, so I'm going to pick on you. Right? It's not politically correct if I pick on women, so... What makes you feel better? Either you having an orgasm or seeing your wife have an orgasm. Yes, James, I want you to put your hand up.
I choose option B.
All right, so. Oh, I love it. Honesty, man. Option A, I have an orgasm. Option B, I get to see my wife have an orgasm. Let's shout out A or B.
B.
What? Is that not amazing? Women, put up your hand if you are surprised. up high. Either women aren't being honest or there are more men than women in the room. It's wild, right? Because believe it or not, even though Western society has taught us that men are all about me in sexuality, do you know what getting your wife to have an orgasm says about me as a man? I'm a good provider. Exactly. According to the Ketubah, it's not. Right? Isn't that amazing? So in fact, her orgasm is our orgasm. Now let me tell you something scary, but freeing at the same time. And this is not FOS. Over 70% of women do not orgasm just through penetratable sex, which means your penis inside of her. Okay? Just so there's no misconceptions. Perceptions. Us Aussies don't have very good English. Okay? Understand that, men and women. Men and women, understand that it takes more than just having sex.
Penetration.
To please your wife or wives to be pleased. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. No, that's just not right, okay? Women, understand that you are normal. You are normal if you are not reaching end. Everyone wants to end tonight. His sign said end. Finn. Chad, you're a good sport. Remember, her orgasm is our orgasm, okay? If that's the truth, and I challenge you to find out, if that is the truth, then women feel freed from the fact that you have not orgasmed. Men feel freed by the fact that you feel you haven't pleased your wife because you probably haven't. How do I know, Rabbi? Because the body doesn't lie. And this rule about the lights being off exists in many very ultra-religious Jewish communities as well. But the biggest problem about the lights being off is you can't tell what her body is doing. A body doesn't lie. So moaning and groaning is not always a real sign that it's pleasing. We laugh, but there are many women who are frustrated and in pain because they have to pretend that it's good. Tonight's the night it stops. Tonight is the night that you communicate with your spouse around pleasure. Tonight is the night that your self-importance gets flushed down the drain. And your oneness with your spouse that God has proclaimed as your purpose is most important. Yes. Tonight is the night that you sit down. I love it. I can see it happening.
Yes.
Tonight is the night that you start becoming truly one. Where you men become her provider in all ways. And stop thinking that you're a macho man who's going to jump on a grenade, jump on your wife. I don't know how that came to me. Only if that's what she wants. Only if that's what she wants. Ladies and gentlemen, we have opened up many wounds. And I do not make light of it. Understand your spouse's feelings. Understand your own feelings around this stuff. And be honest with your spouse tonight. We were discussing, oh, it's very late. Shabbat's only coming out. Some people saw Meg and I looking for 3 stars, which is our sign that Shabbat's out. They're like, yeah, beautiful stars. We're like, no, we're taking this very seriously. We're counting our stars. We didn't want to start too late. Why? Because you might be tired. Meg and I don't go on a date before 9:30. There's no such thing as too tired. By the time we get home, it's midnight, 1 o'clock. So? Are you more committed to your emails than your connection with your spouse? So you'll fall asleep a little bit tomorrow during another session. So what? We would far rather, I'm speaking for me, I would far rather you spend the time and effort tonight and not rush. That doesn't mean everyone has to have sex tonight, okay? But to spend the time and the energy into your sex life, into your intimacy, because God commanded us. God said to us, not in these words, but He entrusted us with sex as a holy, beautiful, blessed tool to create peace between us. God bless you all. And let's pretend that the walls are soundproof.
We're going to do questions and answers. We're going to do some questions.
Okay, where's Jen? What time do we start tomorrow morning? Noon. Someone just said noon. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so we're supposed to start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. What time are we really going to start? We're going to start at 9. How many of you are flying out tomorrow? What time? 8 o'clock, 9, 10? Yeah, okay, cool. And I know there's a bunch of you staying for several more days. Wow, that's a lot of you that are staying for an extra few days. That's awesome. You know who I've been the most excited for coming to Hawaii? Is all the Amish. Right? If you guys had never connected in this community, you never, ever would come to a place like this. You would never leave Michigan or Indiana or Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like, what an amazing thing. You guys are seeing a different part of the world and seeing this gorgeous, beautiful place, you know, versus cornfields. You know, I'm just literally, I told it to Mona and to Charles and Tracy, like, gosh, I am just so excited to see the faces of the Amish being able to see the ocean. More than a horse and buggy. They have those here too, but anyway. Anyway, okay, listen, we have been pressing. Now listen, This is for discussion, okay? This is what you need to understand. You're not hearing anything from the stage that is now your new law.
Yep.
Do you hear me? None of this is your new law, and none of this is necessarily your new permission. What this is you talk to your father, you talk to your spouse. You guys talk about, okay, what was uncomfortable about tonight? What was kind of interesting about tonight? Well, I don't know. It's kind of, this is your opportunity to be honest, whether it's honest about it stirred up some wounds or it's honest about, man, this kind of idea of exploring each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you heard technically from the Word of God, straight from the Torah, from the Bible, what is permissible, what is not. Now, that presses against a whole lot of people. Here's what I will tell you. As I've talked to several pastors, they totally agree with everything that was talked about tonight. They're just too chicken to say it. They're just too chicken to say it. It's not good for offerings. It's the truth. Like, I have yet to find one that doesn't believe or know, like, well, according to the Bible, according to the Bible, this is what it says. And so why don't you teach it? So you need to look at your own Bible. You need to talk to your own God. And you need to talk to each other. Okay? And what does that create? Intimacy. Honesty leads to intimacy. It's hard. It's super hard. But it's real. It really, really is real. And so if you've been stirred like in a... Okay? It's fine. It's fine. Now you have the chance to go there with each other. Wow. You see what I live with? Oh, Lord God, help me. He's so awesome. Okay, anyway. So, did you have a good day? Did we stretch you? Yes, you have a lot to think about. And you're maturing right now, believe it or not. You're in the maturation process right now as we speak because you're being stretched and you're learning. And now you're going to ask different questions and explore different ideas in communication with each other. Singles need to take a shower, cold one. Maybe go for a dip in the ocean. Might be a good idea. It's a fast way to cool off. Tomorrow, we are going to have a breakout session in the morning. I'll be with the women, the guys will be with the guys, and we'll have plenty of Q&A, and again, just handle some of the stuff that maybe you're walking through in all of this. What I can tell you is that the last time we did this, so many people got free. Really were able to learn each other and connect. Like, it really brought depth and freedom in marriages, so I promise what we're doing does have a positive impact. We're like two-thirds of the journey way through right now. So the goal tomorrow is learn some new things about sex. Did you learn anything tonight? Were any of you shocked about some things? How many of you were not shocked at all? That just blows my... Wait, look around the room. Look at people who were not shocked at all. That's pretty awesome. I love that mix. That's beautiful. Okay, cool. How many of you were totally shocked? What's that? The longer you're around us, the less you get shocked. Is that what you're saying? Like, yep. Stretch, but not shocked. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to see you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and have some fun. You might shed some tears. You might explore. You might, who knows what's going to happen. But I would start with maybe flirting. That could work. Flirting's good. And by the way, if you feel under the pressure, like, oh my gosh, I'm pressured. I have to, like, perform. Drop that. Drop that nonsense. What's that? Straight up ego. And guess what? If that's how you're feeling, say it. Like, you know what? I'm like feeling kind of like this pressure. When you just say it sometimes, it relieves the pressure. Okay, listen to me. And if that's how your spouse is feeling, that doesn't mean you're failing. How your spouse is feeling doesn't mean you're failing. Hello? And it doesn't mean it's you. It's not something against you. It's not an attack against you. It's just an emotion. Okay? So when you can acknowledge the emotion, like, wow, man, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. And that could be a hug that they need. Do you understand? That right in itself is creating that intimacy. Well, you're hugging me just because she said to. I'm sorry you feel that way. Do you understand? You're just trying to get laid. Well, that's probably true, but anyway. I am hugging you. I'm sorry. I really like you. I really love being close to you. This is the crap he does to me, and it works every time. I don't say those things to him. He actually does say them to me. He said something to me today that was hilarious. I think you do that just because you want me to perform more. Like, wow, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. Anyway, so again, be open to whatever is going to take place from here. That's what I'm trying to say. No pressure. No pressure, no pressure, no pressure. Just be natural. Be free. Step over there. You might have fun. And you might not. You might go, I don't think I'm. Mm-mm. And you might go, let's try that again. I have no idea what you're going to do. But there's a few of you here. How many of you are HMS grads? You know what I'm talking about, Hot Marriage Secrets grads? Let's create some complaints. You're like, security. Where the front desk is getting complaints from your hotel room. Oh, that's right. Am I neighbors with you? Yeah, anyway. Okay, I'm gonna stop while I'm ahead. It'd be a really good idea. Okay, sorry. My hair falls out all the time and it tickles me. Sometimes it ends up on him. I'm talking too much. I need to go do my homework. So we have to leave now. So please go do your homework. I'm ending this section so I can go start a different one. See you tomorrow morning at 9:00.